Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This episode is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. Become a patron today at patreon.com/intotheportal.
Hello, and welcome back into the portal. I'm Amber Ray.
And I'm Andrew McKay.
And we're back with some freaky stuff. A freaky Film Friday. How about that?
Yes, indeed. Back again, Film Friday. It's been a minute. What was the last Film Friday, actually?
Oh, Lord, don't even ask me.
Don't even ask Amber.
I know, it's been a trip.
Your brain's focused on the dark side of the moon right now, so trivia is not ideal at the moment, I suppose.
90s classic film.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm excited. Here we are. Film Friday. It is a 90s classic film, 1990. I actually can't recall if this was actually a listener-suggested film or just a fun one that we found on Tubi.
I think it was a Tubi find.
If you did reach out and suggest this film and you're not getting the shout-out right now, I do apologize. Hit us up. We'll find a way to make that right. But yeah, we're talking about Dark Side of the Moon today.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed this, actually. It kind of touches on a bunch of different paranormal plots that we've discussed over the years with the show. Portals. Yeah. The devil, possibly.
The devil, or just demonic something out there. I don't know. It's crazy. We got, demonic space entities, the infamous Bermuda Triangle, and what else?
I feel like the triangles have just been coming up over and over again for us on the different things we've been covering lately.
That's actually true, yeah.
I don't know why we're just drawn to triangles.
Pyramids, but triangles, all sorts of
things. I was actually quite caught off guard, to be totally honest with you, because we go into these movies most of the time. We don't read the synopsis before going in a lot of the time.
Well, they're so vague, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, and that's just it. I hate modern trailers for that, where you start to watch a trailer. And then you're like, okay, I'm halfway through this trailer and I feel like I've seen the entire movie, so I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah.
You don't always get that with the older ones. So like we went into this thinking, I was expecting, you know, weird ripoff or alternate version of like Alien, basically. It had those vibes.
Yeah, totally. Because we had recently watched one, I can't remember the name of it, but we had seen one that was kind of similar.
I think it was called Creature.
Oh, yeah.
And it was also a 90s one. I think it was 96.
Cocoon.
We've watched a bunch lately that are fantastic. But again, like a classic 90s or 80s or even 70s sci-fi film, this is the date they're working with here, in the year 2022.
So last year.
Right, so last year. Space Corps 1. So this is essentially the plot. We'll give you a little brief rundown here before we get into all the paranormal awesome juiciness. Space Corps 1, it's this work vessel, essentially, with a crew trained to repair nuclear-armed satellites in the year 2022. They're on their way out to repair one of these satellites, and this is from the IMDb page I'm kind of reading from here, you guys. They're on their way out to repair one of these satellites that's located near Earth's moon when the ship suffers this mysterious catastrophic systems failure. And they've got no power, they're running out of oxygen because they don't have the systems to convert it. They're heading towards this area known as Centrus B40, otherwise known as the Dark Side of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
The Dark Side of the Moon. And they also kind of allude to this other, well, I don't know if it's that early in the plot now that I'm thinking about it, like the triangle aspect. I think that also, it's almost like a prism that connects the Dark Side of the Moon to Earth, specifically the Bermuda Triangle area.
Right.
And they start to zero in on this area as the plot unfolds, I guess. But that's a little bit later on.
Yeah, in a minute or two, so to speak. Do you want to just sort of get into this as we break it down, like piece by piece? Because it starts off like pretty paranormal and juicy right from the get-go. You get like a ghost ship, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the crew's in this situation. They've got all systems down. They're starting to panic because it's a dire situation. And because they are entering into this zone, this dark side of the moon, they can't really enact other things, like, say, like a solar alternative, because they're in this specific area. Right. So they're kind of in a pinch, and they've only got, I think they say, less than 24 hours, less than 12 hours, maybe, the one guy says, before things start to get bad.
Which seems like such a dicey thing from the get-go. It's like, if something goes wrong, I mean, obviously, this was everything going wrong at once, but it's like, okay, something goes wrong with your oxygen system, you're in space, and all of a sudden it's just, oh, you just got 12 hours. That seems like not a lot of time.
Well, maybe just because it is, they are just a crew. They're pretty expendable to the entire operation, you'd imagine. But maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
It just made me think about the recent, makes me shiver just thinking about the recent submarine search. And obviously that was a very small vessel. And they had, what was it? They had 72 hours worth of oxygen. If it actually survived that long. If it wasn't the... Yikes. Yeah.
Catastrophic implosion.
Yeah, it's one of the most horrifying things I could imagine, quite frankly. But so is space. Close second.
The sheer freakiness of being in space coupled with paranormal happenings makes for a pretty juicy plot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it gets even juicier, and it comes right away. And you know, Andrew likes a good fast opener. No lollygagging, no ninny-nannying around here.
Ninny-nannying.
Yes.
That's a new one.
So we get this mysterious object, an incoming object. The crew becomes aware of this pretty quickly.
Right.
And it's pretty spooky. This thing is actually an old USS shuttle, which, you know, for us, we're thinking, okay, this could be relevant. But for this crew, it actually indicates that this is a very old vessel, because we don't actually have the NASA system, you know, those shuttle missions happening. So this is a very old...
It was an out-of-service,
out-of-service vessel.
Yeah. That should not have been in space. That would have been reclaimed, right? It would have either been...
Like a ghost vessel.
Spooky.
And yet for them, it could potentially be a glimmer of hope, because they are in this situation. So, of course, they're trying to make contact, and they're not really getting any response back. But they end up docking with it anyway. It mysteriously comes into their orbit. They're able to successfully dock with this. And it's weird, because they're just not getting any answers from the other side. And it's kind of funny. We get this guy, Jennings. He's kind of the classic... Well, I called him the military guy, because I think he refers to it a couple of times, but he's a little hard-headed, a little bit, I don't know, whatever. And he's all confused. Why would they connect to us? Like, you know, like expecting there to be a crew still? Like, you know, you'd
imagine.
That's
the thing. It's like, obviously you guys are desperate and immediately like not really using your brains, because it's like, if this was supposed to be an out of commission vessel, you're trying to reach out. Like, these guys are going to be like, if they were in their 40s or 50s as the crew when they were launched, like, this was supposed to be decades old, so they'd be like in their 80s still living on the ship.
They wouldn't even have enough oxygen or food or anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. And this ship looks like it's been to hell and back, and they do make the comment right away. So again, this kind of alludes to something inexplicable that has happened aboard this USS shuttle.
And right off the bat, like you said, I do love a quick introduction to a film, getting me right into it right away with the paranormal stuff. And this is like such a futuristic version of like topics we've discussed before, like with phantom airships or like with a ghost ship or with a whatever. It's like, this is the space version. And I guess that's what we would naturally get as humanity progresses, right? Mm-hmm. If we colonize different places off of Earth and stuff, there will be like old transport ships that people find. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the freighters left floating in the middle of the Pacific. It'll be like that, but with, you know, people trapped in vessels in space still.
God. Well, hopefully not people trapped, but maybe just like
cocooned
ditchings of vessels and how to commission whatevers and out of dates and all that kind of
out
thing.
Out of dates.
You know, past dues.
Just space garbage. Yeah. Just harmless.
I clearly know what I'm talking about.
No, for sure. For sure.
Oh man.
So been through hell and back, like you said there. Yeah. We get that line.
But even despite that, they're able to connect. So they link up with this thing, and of course they have to go explore and see what's going on in this vessel. And it just gets freakier from there. Because obviously they don't find anyone on, at least immediately, they don't find anyone on the vessel.
No.
They just find, it's pretty hot, I think, when they first board. They're like, you know.
That's the weird part. So like,
there's not.
Yeah, so it's freaky for one, because it shouldn't be there. The spaceship shouldn't be there at all. And then as soon as they board, it was like the temperature was reading, I think it was 106 degrees is what they said it was reading, Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no power. So it's like, there's no way that this place should be this hot. It can't be this hot. You're on the dark side of the moon. Their vessel was freezing.
And not to mention, there's all this water.
Yeah.
Which is also very bizarre. What's going on here?
And no one to be found, right? So you get that quote from, I believe it's from, so this is, I mean, it's a very small cast, really small cast, but actually a couple of recognizable faces. They weren't names that I recognized, but if you enjoy this era of paranormal and sci-fi films, you'll definitely recognize a couple of the faces from this.
Oh, yeah.
There's 100%. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think there's only seven or eight members of the cast. Mm-hmm. Giles is sort of the main character. He's the young blonde guy who seems to have the, you know, kind of the best head on his shoulders.
Yeah, I feel like he's been in a couple episodes of Murder, She Wrote.
Paxton is the older guy. And then the main...
Played by Joe Turkle.
Right. And then the captain is Captain Flynn. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of the... He's the impetus for, like, all of this going sideways at the beginning, because he's the one who boards the craft initially to kind of check things out, along with... Who goes with him again?
I think Giles. Him and Giles
goes
go.
With him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, once they board the ship, initially just the two of them, Giles and Captain Flynn, this is where it starts to get extra juicy paranormal. This is where the phrase hell or space, shout out to the Kryptonaut podcast, really comes into effect. Because they make the comment off the bat, one, that it's ridiculously hot. How could it be this hot? There's no auxiliary power because you're in space. It's friggin' cold. So that makes no sense. And then even more sinister and mysterious, they make the comment about how there's an abnormally high reading of sulfur in the air, and you can smell it, and they could taste it. Once they had gone back over to the other side, that's strange. Like, otherwise everything was normal. Mm-hmm. And Flynn makes the comment, looks like we have water damage. How the hell is there water aboard the ship? Yeah. I guess you're thinking, like, that's correlating to the water, the temperature,
maybe,
and the water somehow, but steaming still that doesn't make sense. Like, because where's the moisture coming from to begin with, right? And then, of course, they have the only, quote-unquote, what they think is maybe a survivor at first, but then it's just a body recovery. It is a perfectly intact body of one of the presumed crew members named Michael C. Gautier.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring this body back over to their ship because they're like, well, I guess we can't leave it. I don't know. They're thinking that's the noble thing to do, or they think, like, maybe this guy's even...
Well, they have to investigate.
Right? I mean...
And they got a doctor on board.
They technically have a doctor on board, Dr. Dreyfus.
Because it's bizarre. This guy, he basically drops from the ceiling and he's all bloody. He's got this huge gaping wound in his stomach. Well, that was another thing.
Yeah, and I'm like, what is the symbolism of that, right? Mm. He's literally, like, pinned to the ceiling, almost like in a...
Oof. Was he pinned, though?
I mean, it seems like that, like, he was hanging from the ceiling, like, hanging from the rafters, from chains or whatever.
Yeah, and then he falls.
And it was the same thing with a later casualty as we get into the film.
Mm-hmm.
But he drops down and, like... I don't even know what that reminded me of. A couple of different things. Jeepers Creepers and the bodies pinned to the ceiling in the lair of the creature.
Yeah,
and
also just like how
hereditary. Yeah.
Where they're like crawling on the ceiling.
Yeah, something demonic crawling on the ceiling. Definitely also there was that reminder of that as well.
I don't know, yeah.
So they bring this body back over to the ship. This is bizarre. And of course, Giles is wondering what the hell's going on. There's no way for them to figure out what's going on other than to ask their computer system, their database, to try to run a check on the ship, basically.
So they have their doctor doing the autopsy, or attempting to perform an autopsy, Dreyfus. And then meanwhile, he goes and questions Leslie, the computer system.
So this is a fun part of this movie. It felt so much more 80s, and I always like to say, you know, this was filmed in 1990. That means it's an 80s movie, okay? The first 2 to 3 years of every new decade is just a continuation of the previous decade. So this is such an 80s movie.
A distilled version
exactly.
of the decade before.
And they literally have an anthropomorphized computer system. Is that how you would describe it?
I would say so.
The computer itself is built to resemble a human woman. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming the actual, like... I'm so not a techie person. I'm assuming the actual, like, you know, the main components of the actual computing portion are located outside of this robot body.
Well, maybe, you don't really see her move.
Moves a little. It's this sexy lady, tits out, sitting in a chair, hair pinned back. I mean, sexy, quote unquote. I mean, whatever you think is sexy.
Great makeup,
I think that's what
it
was trying to be.
She is
a little intimidating. Yeah. Like, it's like, okay, I'm still serious. I'm a computer. Got my hair pinned back, but just full cleavage.
Mm.
And I don't know who designed that computer for the ship.
Oh, yes. We know exactly who designed it. It was Joe Turkle's character, Paxton. Yeah.
So he was just real horny.
I guess. The old man, of course.
Yeah. And he comes across as having some ulterior motives early on, because when Giles goes in and starts asking Leslie, the computer, questions about what's going on, he didn't have access to certain files because Paxton had pre-programmed it to say that he didn't have clearance for it. And Giles is in charge of the mission.
Yeah.
He's literally like second in command to Flynn.
And he tells him, he's like, you didn't have permission to do that. Yeah. And makes him reverse it instantly, right, like in front of him, which is kind of interesting.
So you get,
I kind of shows there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a power struggle going
on. Can't trust Paxton. Yeah, there's a little bit of a power struggle there. But also maybe it's just like a side plot where, yeah, this guy built this woman-shaped computer and he really just wanted to keep most of that to himself, I guess. Like, he's like, this is my creation.
Perhaps, yeah, there's some sort of intellectual property that he wants to keep to himself, obviously. Like, maybe there's a bit of, like,
it's a side plot, for sure.
It's a bit of a coveting situation as well. But then I think it's interesting, too, because early on in the film, Leslie herself is established as perhaps untrustworthy or questionable. There's that scene where she denies any systems are compromised, even though they're clearly compromised. So it, to me, I'm like, is that stemming from her? Is it stemming from her creator? We don't know.
Or is it
the infiltrating?
The entity.
Yeah.
So it has the bit, which is an interesting philosophical conversation as well, because if this is a demonic entity or the devil himself in space, then it obviously has the ability to possess and impact both organic and inorganic intelligences, because this is an AI futuristic intelligence. Yeah, so that's a weird thing to think. It's like, we don't even also be demonically possessed, like a robot.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we don't know if it's this demonic entity that shuts down the power for them initially, or if that is just a fluke happening and then they happen to stumble into this whole scenario, or if they are literally just like the mice in the, you know, in the maze going slowly towards the trap kind of thing. I don't know.
Now, you'll have to refresh my memory a tiny bit here, and everyone listening, I hope you guys, obviously we're going to put it out there, I hope you guys have seen this. We mentioned that this was going to be on our list of Film Friday, so you definitely got to check it out on Tubi or wherever you can find it. But I'm a little bit fuzzy again on whether or not Giles was asking about the ship and learnt about the Bermuda Triangle at the same time he then sees the next very disturbing scene, which is when you've got Gauthier that he sees actually physically get up and assault one of the crew members that is going in
Alex,
who is just one of the crew members going in to check on something in the room where this supposed to just be a body waiting for a full autopsy, which Dreyfus goes and checks this guy out, and he's basically like, he looks like nothing else happened to him other than this perfect triangle cut into his torso, or his abdomen. And there's no way it could have been self-inflicted because it's so perfectly cut. And I guess we should have mentioned that off the bat. They bring this body back. This guy, other than the fact that he's clearly dead because of this hole in his body, it's like he's perfectly intact. It's like it had happened seconds before they found him on the ship.
I think we did mention that.
Right.
I said it was fresh.
So dang fresh.
So fresh.
Ziploc fresh.
So fresh. But yeah, you know, going back to the whole, like, this whole discovery here, this is kind of crazy because Leslie herself, let's get to that scene because Giles is questioning her about this mission, this shuttle. She gives them information as far as, like, this was, like, about a 30-year-old mission at this point. She isn't really able to give much specifically on the Gauthier character, but she does give him information on the crew and the shuttle. She says that according to the current records, so this is kind of a funny thing too, because I think these records have been altered. What she has access to, she says that the shuttle crew did not exist and have never been registered as a part of NASA's space program, according to the record.
Right.
Which obviously that isn't the case. But it's interesting because eventually we do get more information as far as, like, what happened to this shuttle. Apparently, and this is where we get more Bermuda Triangle aspect here.
Yes.
Apparently, the shuttle splashed down off the Florida coast in the infamous Bermuda Triangle, and the crew reported as ditched into the Pacific. So that to me, okay, so, and also I should mention that Gauthier was never recovered, while the other two crew members were the ones that splashed down.
And it, but it was just weird because when he first asks about Gotye, he's like, there's no record of that existing or no record of that name. And then he asks in like a different way when he's like, who was recovered and who was missing? And when she, when he asks Leslie who was missing, then she says, Michael C. Gotye, and like says the name. It's almost as if there was some sort of a cover up on the ground too.
Yeah, I think
right? Like they knew that there was this. It's like there's a whole other side plot to this film where it's very like Stranger Things. Maybe they were trying to like access this portal that this that Giles is slowly starting to realize like is a thing, because there's no other way that this ship A could be in space, B be filled with tropical salt water, and also be extremely hot, even though that part still isn't making any sense yet.
Well, the warm water, I guess, yeah.
So I guess that we have to get back to that, to the part that I kind of jumped the gun on, which is Gotye, which is the devil himself awakening inside their ship and showing his true colors and getting some epic quotes.
Yeah, no, this is a freaky scene here. One of the, just for sheer body horror, I guess, in that sense. But Gotye, like you said, so, okay. We have Giles still in the room with Leslie. He has access to all the camera systems, and he sees Gotye get up off the bed, which is probably one of the freakiest moments. It's because he sees you see it from his perspective, like through the surveillance camera, and he can't really. He's obviously in a separate part of the ship.
Can't
he's not
do
right
anything.
There, and he sees her essentially enveloped into him. He, like, takes her, and I guess he has her, like, mesmerized at this point. And he says some, yeah, you had some quotes here.
Oh, yeah, well, just some epic ones. So he grabs Alex. Alex is freaking out, and she's like, and he's like, yell as loud as you want. No one can hear you. It's very Cenobite-like. It's very awesome.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
And then she asks, who are you, right? Because obviously... she's realizing that this is something far beyond anything that she's experienced before. And it's, he says, I have many names and have come to take what is mine. It's also very Cenobite-like as well.
Yeah. And the whole many names thing, again, we get sort of these first inklings that this is something demonic or
ancient.
Perhaps exactly the devil himself in space. It's not hell or space. It's hell in space.
Oh, and it just makes you wonder. Been... It's like, well, what does that even mean? Like, it's like, we think of it as a complete otherworldly, you know, it's so far off, it's so whatever, but it's like if this thing can kind of just like dip dap dart around wherever it wants with portals.
Dip dap dart.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, where is hell? What is hell? Hell is everywhere. It's
hell
anywhere.
Is wherever you want
right?
it to be.
It's literally anywhere. It's at the DMV, it's in space, it's wherever.
It's at
your in-laws dinner
down the street.
She's rough recent experience with
Yikes,
that.
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
heavens.
Go there. But the freakiest thing about this is like, yeah, like we alluded to. So Giles is not really able to come to her assistance, but obviously he tries. So he races down to the medical center only to find Gotye apparently back to his lifeless self while Alex is unconscious on the ground.
Yeah. The last thing he sees before he jets out of the room to go try to save her or help her is Gotye is literally pulling her face into the triangle in his torso.
And I think he turns around, he's looking right at the camera.
Yes, as he's holding her face inside. And I'm thinking, so obviously there's like a possession aspect to this movie where like this creature is inside the body of the former crew member of the NASA shuttle ship, Gotye, and now he's just functioning in that body. Mm-hmm. But there's like this, there's just so many connections to the triangle. So like, I don't even know, dude, I can jump ahead here for a second.
Yeah.
It's basically like this idea that there's the trope of the connection to the Bermuda Triangle. So that's the first part of it. This guy has a triangle in his torso. Giles is realizing that the splashdown of this ship was in the Bermuda Triangle and the bodies recovered and yada, yada, whatever. Gotye was not, all that stuff. But then there's also the fact that we're dealing with what seems to be the devil. So there's like the Holy Trinity kind of aspect to the triangle.
The 666
and this
comes
physical,
into it.
The 666 and the physical symbol of it in the torso of the, so he's pulling her face in and it's like a portal within a portal because it's like he got there via a portal from the Bermuda Triangle. Now you've got this like hell portal in your torso of this corpse that you're using as a vessel to then suck the soul out of this woman and whoever else is next. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yikes.
It's a weird literalization of it, of the whole
It's just triangles metaphor, upon triangles. You
know? It is triangles. But the, exactly. Triangles and the triangles, man. It's like a whole like prism kind of, if you picture it literally, and they do show it quite effectively in their little graphic.
They have a digital rendering. Movie. And yeah, so if you guys can picture this, like listening, like two globes set apart like from
moon,
each other.
The moon and the earth.
Right.
And then there's the Bermuda Triangle on earth. And a there's
physical
a physical
three dimensional prism connecting the two of them between those two.
It's like a big beam.
Disparate locations.
Yeah.
Does it just happen to be the dark side of the moon? Is it always this area Centrus B40? And you just playing on that because it sounds like hell. It's cold. It's whatever.
Well, totally.
You know?
And it actually kind of makes sense. If you think of it as less of a triangle, more of a prism connecting two endpoints, that makes sense for all of the plane, all of the anomalies above the actual ocean itself.
Okay, so how freaky would that be if you're in space in what's supposed to be the future, 2022, on a mission, and you just run into Flight 19.
Yeah,
exactly. And they're just floating through space.
Yeah, totally. That's what I'm picturing. Anyways.
Yikes.
Freaky, man. Okay. All right. Okay. Should we get back to the film here?
Let's get back to the film here.
Okay. So Alex is unconscious now. Suspicions are swirling around amongst the crew.
Yeah, I love how you wrote this here. I'm sorry. I love how you wrote this here. Like, then Alex's face gets sucked into the triangle wound in his torso. With three exclamation marks. Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
It gets sucked right in. Meanwhile, though, while this is happening, we have Flynn, the more like senior sort of like captain.
He's the captain. He's the captain.
I guess, yeah. And then Giles is the second.
Giles is like seems to have some sort of military background / is captain / like, generally in charge to some extent.
Exactly, yeah. So they're kind of like, they're the two whatevers. But Flynn decides he's going to go back. So he's over on the shuttle again. And he discovers one of the cavities is literally full of seaweed and seawater.
Right.
And so, again, we have another confirmation. This is, like, highly unusual. What the hell really happened here? He's in the middle of reporting to Giles that he's in a, quote, goddamn fishbowl, end quote, when the comms is cut short by him crying out against some unknown sinister foe.
Yes.
So we don't know at this point if Flynn is in or out of the picture. He might have just been enveloped by the devil himself. So, yeah, let's go back to the ship again here, because we have the classic. This always seems to happen in films like this. And it's in confined spaces or it's in whatever. It doesn't matter how much space you have. Everyone seems to want to separate. Why do we have these separations? And then no one trusts anyone.
Yeah.
Like even, we have Giles and Dreyfus, the doctor guy, that have their own thing. But even before that, there's Giles and the doctor guy. What's his name again? What's his character's name?
The doctors?
Paxton, the guy that created Leslie, the scientist.
Yeah, whatever. Scientist, whatever guy. Yeah, no, is that just a classic sci-fi and horror trope where they need it to happen? Because would that ever happen in actuality?
I don't think anyone would split it like that.
I mean, I probably wouldn't. But you know what? I will say at this point, though, just in terms of reviewing the movie, I really liked the sets. They're going back and forth between this NASA shuttle that they've attached to because they're trying to, like when Flynn goes back the second time, like they're still just trying to get their ship up and running. Yeah. He's like, okay, like maybe we can take some parts from their ship. He was trying to get like some special fuses or something so he could bring them back over or run some sort of auxiliary power between the two or whatever. Cause they were getting power on somehow miraculously on this other ship. Like he was like, oh, like, okay, like some stuff's working. We need to, I can't remember what it was, but it was take some fuses or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going back over it, but then, of course, like you just said, dun-dun-dun, something horrible happens. Dreyfus and Giles go back, and like you said, the trope. They split up. Why? Stupid. And then they don't trust each other. I mean, Dreyfus is kind of, like, on Giles' side the entire time, but
he's just trying to survive. He's a little bit, a little freaked out the whole time, a little bit trigger-happy almost. But the main, I feel like the main antagonisms are between Giles and Paxton, the older guy. Because I think, again, it goes down to an authority sort of, like, like a battle for power type of thing.
And, absolutely.
And of course, all these swirling suspicions, because we get our first crewman officially dead. Alex, the woman,
is
gone. And everyone thinks, for whatever reason, Giles did, even though there's no real evidence to support anyone doing it. But now everyone's kind of on edge. And Paxton and Jennings, they grab the guns, and everyone's just... You don't know who's under control of the Beast at this point. Giles never is. I think Paxton is by this point, because we have that scene where Alex, before she ends up dying, like, they find her with the same cut and whatever.
Right.
She ends up seducing an unknown crew member.
I think it's Jennings.
You don't actually see his face.
No.
So you don't know if it's Jennings or Paxton. I think it's actually Paxton.
So you basically just have the devil wandering around in Alex's body trying to bang whoever.
Exactly. He plays dead. And then when no one's looking, they get up and wander around and get the next guy. It's kind of, what does it remind me of? Reminds me of something from Super Mario World. Like those, it's the ghosts. When you look at them, they go, they hide. And then you look away and then they go after you. Yeah.
Well, that's another sort of symbolic thing, though, actually, just thinking about it, where it's like Alex is the first one possessed. And then it's like the classic, you know, like she's trying to seduce the devil's trying to seduce Paxton or Jennings, whoever it is in that scene, right?
Yeah.
And it's very like, of course that's something like a demon would do or the devil would do, like use of sex course. as this like sinful like way of getting it because you just can't control yourself or whatever. there's a lot of like little symbolic things like that in this movie. Yeah. And I think the triangles being the main point of that, the Holy Trinity, obviously the idea of interdimensionality, the Bermuda Triangle literally existing, all that kind of stuff, which is really fun.
It works. It's fun. And the film itself has a good pace to it. It doesn't keep you like, you know, I liked it at least for that. But we're not finished yet, because there's a lot more that comes to happen. And one of my favorite scenes happens closer to the end when Leslie herself is confronted by the devil. And she ends up having her own really hilarious, slash epic line. She's like, "Get away from me, you motherfucker." Explicit content. Any kids listening, make sure you close the little ear holes.
Yeah, we'll put it on the pre-recording on the label there. Yeah, no, that's a weird scene, though, because it's like the AI is literally reacting to the devil itself.
Yeah, she knows. And it's kind of bizarre, because how would she be able to sense this evil? It's, she must be more than just a computer. She must be more of like a android or something. You know what I mean? Like she's definitely more perception. Well, I guess that's
it. I mean, is it an android? I mean, they build it as an actual shape of a human, a humanoid.
Humanoid.
Yeah. It's just a hilarious little side plot that they never actually divulge any information on for the movie.
You know, they don't have to.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, they don't really have to disclose that, do they, Amber?
No, they don't.
Ridiculous. But yeah, no, once again, we've got this zip, zap, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Between what? The Discovery and the...
Between the Discovery and between... What's their ship called again? Their ship's called Space Corps 1.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds hardcore. It's really not that hardcore. But yeah, so Giles, he has to go back one more time because the last hope is for them to... retrieve the relays, which is what Flynn was going over there to get. That's what I was trying to remember. After their first trip over to try to get Flynn, they realize he's dead. They come back. Amber, you already alluded to this. Nobody trusts him. Paxton and Jennings have them at gunpoint. It doesn't come to anything, though. They're all still alive. No one shoots anyone, at least yet.
Yeah.
But when Giles goes back over, Jennings doesn't want this to happen. He's literally thinking, I don't know what his plan is, though. Like, it's like, what else is your plan? You guys are drifting further and further into the dark side of the moon. It's getting cold. You're running out of oxygen. You clearly have an inhuman entity stalking you on your ship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just always a problem.
Yeah.
I guess maybe because he was possessed by the devil at the time. I can't be 100%
we're
sure.
Not sure who is at this
because
point.
Essentially what they agree to is that Giles is going to go back over one more time.
Yeah.
He's wading through the swamps of the other ship, basically, the seaweed and the salt water. And he's only got 10 minutes.
He gives himself 10 minutes.
He gives himself 10 minutes. That was the agreement. It's like, if I'm not back in 10 minutes, yeah, let her have it. Thinking, presumably, I guess, that whatever is stalking them is on board, because that's where Flynn had just been murked.
Oh, exactly.
But they are obviously dead wrong. It's been amongst the rest of the crew.
That's the confusing part. There's a little ambiguity there because there's clearly something still aboard the Discovery shuttle.
We've watched this 3 times, and now that we're actually discussing it for a Film Friday, I'm actually confusing myself as to the tactics to eliminate the ship that they think is bad, get the power they need to their ship back to survive, and deal with the devil.
It's a pretty loosely woven plot. I'm not gonna lie here.
It's definitely a B movie. I mean, it's very much a B movie. It was just one of the better ones of the early 90s, I would say.
You know,
good flow, good sets that were just dark and mysterious and very, very space-like for sure.
The acting's not terrible. And I actually just remember, no, I didn't really remember, IMBD remembered for me, but Joe Turkle's character, the Paxton guy, he's actually in Blade Runner. That's what I remembered
him
from.
That's where he was from.
So anyways, it's not all B-list actors, really.
No, there's a couple notable faces for sure. But then, okay, so I wrote this in here, though. Like, why blow it up? Why not just disconnect? Like, why wouldn't it just be like, okay, try to get back within 10 minutes, and then we're disconnecting this thing, and or then blowing it up? Like, why is it automatically just blow it up? Just because Jennings was really wanting to blow stuff up right from the beginning of the movie, making comments about how he was in Nicaragua using all kinds of different guns and stuff and whatever else.
Whole lifestyle.
Man. So Giles is back on that NASA Discovery ship. Crazy. He's going through the water and the seaweed. He, like, throughout this next few scenes, we have Dreyfus ending up shooting, is it Jennings or Paxton?
Paxton.
You sure it's Paxton?
He Dreyfus definitely kills Paxton.
He basically saves Giles in the airlock because he's stuck between. This
how
is
does
all,
Jennings die, though?
Jennings gets overtaken by the devil.
As does everyone in this film.
I think we've got Jennings and Paxton constantly flip-flopping in our brains here, because I think you have it the other way around. So, yeah, Paxton was possessed. He kills Jennings because he's like, do it, shoot me. Mm-hmm. He's like taunting Jennings into doing it. Jennings fires. I don't think anything actually happens at that point. No. Maybe there's a little body jump there, and then it's Jennings that's possessed. Mm-hmm. Second to last. Or third to last, rather, second to last, then being Dreyfus, the doctor.
And nevertheless, none of this really matters, because all that matters is that the devil's in space, okay? And he's going to get them all. And it seems as if Giles is the only one that really has a wherewithal to figure it out. So let's just jump to that, because there's a pretty interesting scene. We're getting down to the last of the crew here. We've got Dreyfus, who's killed Paxton / Jennings /
whoever.
It's a little bit vague, though. I think there's an interesting cut where we don't actually see what happens, and that's where obviously he makes his final jump into Dreyfus.
Right.
And one of my favorite moments, because it's one of those scenes that it's not action filled or anything, it's a very slow scene, and if you weren't paying attention in the very beginning of the movie, you wouldn't actually catch the significance of it. And it's when they're sitting, it's just Giles and Dreyfus at this point, they're kind of coming up with their next plan, so to speak, and they're sitting having tea or coffee or whatever, and Dreyfus / the devil makes the mistake of putting cream in his coffee, which Dreyfus is, I think he says, mortally allergic to in the very one of the very first scenes in the beginning. So that's where we're getting, that's it. Giles realizes it's literally him and the devil sitting at the table.
And I guess another really interesting, like, part of this entire film, and it's like, one, it's a B movie, so it makes sense they wouldn't have the creature shown, I guess. They just make it, they leave it all up to the imagination. It's all implied. Because the only time we actually see, quote unquote, the creature is the eyes. We see some yellow eyes. Mm. I think it is when it is in Paxton's body and he kind of walks into the light. Mm-hmm. And you can see it's got these, like, monstrous, weird kind of weird shape of the actual of the eye and all that stuff, and that's it. That's the only time we actually see the creature itself. It's
in
always
Gautier
just inside.
Too. You see the eyes in Gautier too,
right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, what? Yeah, what does this thing actually look like?
We don't know.
I don't know. That was just something.
It's like
I
a
thought.
Shape. It's like the thing. It's like a shapeshifter.
Yeah, it's just always in something else.
Yeah.
What is its actual form? That's always that. That
goes by many forms, many names.
Many forms, many names. That's fascinating to me.
And you take what is his.
Well, that's just it. It's like, is this the devil from just the sort of Judeo-Christian, like, you know, history and faith, or is the devil something that is like more elemental and more ancient that just kind of just gets applied to different like religions over the centuries and millennia or whatever, as it's progressed and changed.
Intergalactic devils.
It's always been the same monsters. It's just different names and applications.
I don't know.
It's freaky deaky Dutch.
Well, you have to wonder if the Bermuda Triangle strangeness predates Judeo-Christianity. You know what I mean?
Well, obviously.
Obviously.
Of course it
does. That's just an obvious question. Yeah. Why are we even asking it?
I mean, if a portal was there, a portal's a portal before...
A portal's a portal.
Before Jesus.
Quote from Andrew.
And that is a quote. Put that on a t-shirt. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, do we have any final questions, any comments we want to make about this film? Any?
Well, I guess just the final scene. It's like kind of interesting, the fact that Giles basically just decides, you know what, I'm not going to get out of this. I have to blow up the ship along with the devil with it.
Yeah.
And you get that final scene and he goes for it and he has a pretty... You know, he's like, if this doesn't work, I'll see you in hell, basically. Pretty awesome line.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question for me is that, is like, the devil looks pretty freaked out in that final scene. Like, oh no, I'm going to, like a Scooby-Doo ending. Like, oh no, I almost had them all and then I'm going to get blown up.
Yeah.
And that's it? Like, that you're done after
that's
that?
That's it.
And so that leaves me with questions of like, A, can you... kill the devil with a nuclear weapon. that's interesting.
Yeah.
Or is it that it will just shut off the necessary portal that this devil needs to jump back and forth between, like, wherever the connection is through the Bermuda Triangle and then the Centris B40 dark side of the moon portal.
If he doesn't have a vessel, like, how... That's actually a good question.
Like, So, I mean, I guess if we ever have... the final judgment day and we have to deal with, you know, demonic entities crawling out of the pit like Hassel Hoska, you just gotta use radiation and nukes, I guess.
I guess so. That's the answer.
Nuke 'em. Duke Nukem.
He won up the devil, man. He got him. Giles. What a guy.
Unless the next scene, it's like a you know, an unaired scene or whatever they didn't use. It's just Giles in hell.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, how else? Like, where else would he end up? Heaven?
Definitely not.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, so many other questions with this. It was fascinating and so much fun on a paranormal level. I mean, even just the body from the beginning, right? Like, you have, you know, like, Gauthier perfectly preserved. It's been 30 plus years. He's just got that sweet demon preservation going on. And he's been literally laying in a saltwater brine ship for 3 decades, and it's just mint condition. Like, that's pretty...
Yeah, that speaks to some patience. It's like, you know, this guy, he's just waiting for the next thing to come along, like...
Well, that's just it, though. It's like, was he, or did he, or was the connection made because, like, that had already happened? Like, that line that Giles ends up seeing, like, drawn between the two points, like, on the map or whatever, was that just an open portal?
Well, if you think about it that way, in the words of a wise man, I will quote, a portal is a portal.
A portal is a portal.
Portal's a portal's a portal.
You know what? When I Googled this, when I was like, Bermuda Triangle portals, I literally just, you know, I was like, okay, let's just jump off from there. And one of the first 3 things that comes up is, of course, a clip from Ancient Aliens from last season, from 2022. And the quote from it, or the title of it, is Time Warp Portals in Bermuda Triangle.
Nice.
And of course, you know, these are adjacent topics like electronic fog, you know, lost time, these types of things. But they do share some similarities to the idea of obviously transporting physical objects from one place to another that don't seemingly make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We've talked about it with like the idea of stargates and things like that in more sci-fi terms. This is obviously a science fiction movie that just plays on some, you know, paranormal like topics that are actually like of interest, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, planes and ships and different things disappearing or showing up where they shouldn't be, things like that, except they just applied it to the extreme and added the devil.
So there you go. Gotta add the devil for a nice little twist.
Yeah.
It's like
so
seasoning on top.
When it comes to this one, it definitely isn't hell or space. It's hell in space.
Mm-hmm.
And also presumably the Bermuda Triangle in 1990 or 2022, I should say.
2022, yeah.
That's right. And that's all I really have. Those are my final thoughts on this film. I quite enjoyed it. Great B movie.
We hope you guys enjoyed it too. Well, we enjoyed it 3 times, so that's something.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, well, and we kept on arguing about who killed who and what happened. And even after three times, I think we were still a little fishy on it, to be honest. But
a little murky. That's okay.
Highly recommended. Well, yeah, let's watch it tonight. Let's do it. Dark Side of the Moon, round four.
Round four coming up.
Well, you guys, we just wanted to give a shout out to all of our Patreon supporters. Thank you guys so much. I know it's been a minute, but we do have a few that we're going to do for you guys soon. Things have been pretty busy in our lives. We didn't say this right off the top, but we actually are in the process of moving.
Yeah.
We're packing up our apartment and going to be moving for the first time ever, really. Like, we've done little moves, but this is the first big move.
It's still in province, though.
Still in province. Yeah. We're heading over to Vancouver Island, actually, which is really exciting. I'm going to be going back to school. Amber might be going back to school, too.
Yep.
And,
lots of big changes.
Big changes. So it's been really just busy and tough. There's also a few other just life things going on as well. But we'll definitely keep you guys posted. And being on the island is going to be exciting because there's obviously a lot of fun paranormal stuff out there that we've talked about already on the show. The Empress Hotel, the Thetis Lake monster has been mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Cadborosaurus we haven't done, but that's definitely something to be talked about. Sasquatch, obviously, sightings out in Souk, BC.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get down to Souk and check it out.
Exactly.
And some other places on
the
coast.
Lots of fun stuff to explore.
So we're really looking forward to that. And just wanted to let you guys know so you're updated on what's going on with us and why we're not, you know, doing the two-week cycle like we've done in the past. We're still just wanting to put out awesome content for you guys when we're able to. So stay tuned. It's going to keep coming from Into the Portal. We love all you guys. Thank you so much. And also shout out to a couple of other people that we've been talking about recently. We haven't discussed for a while, but Matt Baldwin, shout out to Matt.
Aaron Bloom
and a few others have supported us for a long, long time. So
shout out to the Kryptonaut Boys again.
Yeah, shout out to the Kryptonaut Boys again. We've been listening to those guys while we've been camping and doing a few other things this summer. We've been just trying to squeeze in summer, like get an actual summer for the first time in like a decade.
God knows how long.
You know what I mean? We've always been working and doing the show. But we hope you guys enjoyed this. Thank you so much for hopping on for another Film Friday. We will be back again for more Film Fridays. And more regular episodes. Exactly. Yeah. This was just to tide y'all over. So stay tuned for more coming really soon on Into the Portal.
Your gateway to the bizarre.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.